Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. A new Gillette ad is giving some people a little razor burn.
Bullying. The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? We can't hide from it. It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off. Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sex.
And there will be no going back.
The Boston-based razor company's ad called We Believe the Best Men Can Be tackles toxic masculinity by showing men engaging in behavior like bullying and sexual harassment, as well as being role models for better behavior. The ad poses the question, is this the best a man can get? While the ad is a sign of progress for some, others say it paints too broad a picture of masculinity and are calling for a boycott of the company. Joining us to talk about this is Boston Globe columnist and travel writer Chris Muther. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Well, really happy to have you here. Also, we're joined by Boston Globe columnist Renee Graham from the Boston Globe studio. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. And listeners, we also want to hear from you. What did you think of the ad? Did you appreciate Gillette taking a stance, or did the company go too far? Do you think Gillette should have used this social commentary for an advertisement? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. All right, let's get to the discussion here. Chris and Renee, initial reaction to the ad. We'll start with you, Chris.
My initial reaction was I was really taken aback to the point where I was almost moved to tears, which I wouldn't expect to have happened watching an ad for razors.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I was so moved by it was particularly the scenes on bullying really took me back to my days in junior high and high school when I hate to use the word victim, but I was a victim of bullying almost constantly through those years, to the point where I would come up with excuses not to go to school.
Hmm. Yeah. So you wrote in a piece that the bullying part really, really, really stuck with you. And you told me that you've received hundreds of emails today, people who can relate to your article.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
I mean, I've really been taken aback. I was expecting there would be a reaction. I didn't know what kind of a reaction, but there have been hundreds of emails, I'd say 99.9-something% positive. And a lot of them are from people who are saying they want the best for their children. They want their children to live in a world where they don't have to worry about bullying and sexism, those sorts of issues, and that they're excited to see this ad come along and sort of impart a message, even though it is just an ad for razors. They see it as something more. Some of the emails are from reformed bullies who are apologizing, saying, you know, if we had any idea our actions caused these sorts of implications further down the line, then we would have acted differently. And then some just people thanking me for being honest about my experiences.
Mm. Renee, what did you think of the ad?
I was really surprised because, you know, when this kind of thing happens, it can go horribly wrong. And I think of the Pepsi ad a few years ago with Kendall Jenner, which tried to, you know, use the Black Lives Matter movement to sell soda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasn't that. You know, this isn't an ad where you constantly see a Gillette razor. This was taking a really broad view and a very poignant view of toxic masculinity, and we talk about it a lot. But here we were seeing all these examples, not just within the context of Me Too, but as Chris has mentioned, bullying and the effects it has on the people who are bullied. I mean, it was really sort of a remarkable thing for Gillette, I think, to take its tagline, you know, the best a man can get, and kind of turn it inside out into, you know, the best a man can be. And so taking it from a product to saying, you know, we need to talk about these issues. We need to bring these to the forefront and do something about them because they're deeply harming our society.
I want to take a phone call from Jeff from the South End. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Well, thank you. What's your comment or your question?
My comment is toxic masculinity is a term that's been kind of rolled out by by feminists that kind of, I think, you know, put men into a box. If you just take the simple exercise of turning it around and saying, what if they ran an ad calling it toxic femininity and taking some of the unsavory aspects of the female gender that are out on the fringes and kind of rolled out an ad, the outrage would be explosive against that ad. And I'm starting to see some outrage regarding this ad, which I think is great. But taking the fringe elements of men are good. Masculinity is a good thing. But taking the fringe elements of masculinity and turning it into toxic masculinity, it's really terrible. And I think the outrage would be enormous if they ran a similar ad for Gillette's female razor calling it toxic femininity. We're talking about bullying. Girls in middle school are extremely aggressive in their social, relational bullying of other girls, and that is just as big a problem as it is for boys who bully. And that ad would never really play on a national stage.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. Renee, I want to ask you about that. So what if we saw an ad with toxic femininity? Is that a fair equivalency for you?
I was really hoping he would define toxic femininity, because I don't quite know what that would look like.
Well, I mean, he talked about, junior high girls and how much bullying there is among young girls in junior
kids
high.
Bully. Right. Kids do bully each other. That's beyond gender. Kids do bully each other. But the commercial is, this ad is talking about something beyond that. It is talking about this idea of weakness in men. And, it reminded me of, I think it was last couple of seasons ago, New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham was ridiculed because he cried on camera after he fractured his ankle during a football game. And, the next day, and really in the minutes after that, he was getting all this flack on social media that somehow he needed to man up, that was no way for him to behave. And I kept thinking, he fractured his ankle, which must hurt like bloody blue blazes, not to mention it pretty much ended his season. So, this idea that somehow he was weak in doing that, I think that's the kind of thing that this ad is trying to counterbalance. The idea that somehow, well, yes, we can do this about women too in the fringes, but the problem is no one said masculinity is bad. Toxic masculinity is bad.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think? What does the ad teach us about what we expect from men in society and how we've defined masculinity over time?
What I think is interesting, just to go back to the caller for a moment, because I've heard and read a lot of comments similar to his, and the idea of, I think someone emailed me one of my three negative emails and said, if this were a tampon ad, no one would stand for it, there would be outrage. And I think reading so much into this ad is not the right way to look at it. I think looking at the ad, the basic message is let's set an example, a good example. And I think they showed men and boys and setting an example. And I think to take it further than that, I think to start looking at comparing it to women, comparing it to other groups isn't the right way to look at it. And then I feel if people are jumping in and they're defensive of that, then what is that saying about what their feelings are toward bullying, towards women? I realize that's reading a lot as well, but that was sort of my initial reaction, because I've heard those comments a lot. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your initial question.
No, that's okay. Well, I do think this is a good time. I want to bring in another voice in the conversation. Matt McDonald is the editor of the New Boston Post, a conservative publication. He wrote about why he takes offense to the ad in his piece titled Gillette, the Best a Man Can Do Without. And he joins us on a cell phone. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Maria.
So tell me, why do you take issue with the advertisement?
The scene with the 2 6-year-old boys fighting in the backyard is disturbing to me, because if you look at a timeline of the ad is not presented in linear fashion, but if you try to create a timeline out of it and you go from back to front, you start in the beginning with older men looking in the mirror, not liking what they see. And the implication is they don't like what they see because of the way they've behaved through life. And how they behave through life? Well, as young men, perhaps they were physically assaulting young women, leering at young women, treating them in inappropriate fashion. Why is that? As teenagers, they were part of a gang chasing and bullying a weak individual. Why is that? Because as six-year-old boys, they're rolling around in their backyard fighting each other over some dispute. That is a part and parcel of how young boys develop. It's not destructive behavior for two boys to settle a dispute with their fists. And to present that as if masculinity is that, and it all comes back to the topic of toxic masculinity, I think that term by itself is a problem, because what it's saying is not that masculinity can be used in bad fashions. It's that masculine traits are themselves somehow destructive.
But Matt, isn't that painting too broad of a stroke to say that it's normal for little boys to sort of hash it out with violence at 5 or 6 years old? I mean, as a mother of a 4-year-old, I would find it really disturbing if I were to see my little boy fighting, like physically fighting with another little boy. Aren't you generalizing too much?
I don't think so. Boys tend to fight it out sometimes. I'm not talking about situations where somebody's getting seriously injured. I'm certainly not talking about a gang ganging up on one person. But two boys settling a dispute by fighting it out is not destructive. It's part of how boys develop. That's how a boy actually learns to stand up for himself. And to say that that leads to these other bad behaviors, it's just not so.
Chris, you were a boy.
I was, yes.
What are you thinking about these comments?
I do think boys fight. That's true. And I think there are different levels of fighting. And I think, yes, sometimes disputes are solved that way. I think maybe a large part of the time, and I can only speak from experience, one of those boys necessarily doesn't want to be in that fight. One of the boys has been cornered into the fight. And if it's working out a dispute, that's not how a dispute is worked out. I think in this case, the dad or bystander who came over and sort of separated the boys knew that. He knew that that's a healthy way to do it. And again, the underlining theme behind it all is boys will be boys, and how that is slightly toxic to look at it that way, because we've been living with boys will be boys for so long. And this ad isn't going to make that go away. But again, I feel like the idea of using fighting as normal male development may not be the norm. And I definitely don't think it should be the norm.
All right. Well, we have so many phone calls. Let's go to Kristen from Salem. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell us what you think about this.
So I was actually in support of this ad. I am a teacher. I teach fifth grade, and so I constantly am surrounded by children. And I really like the way that this ad is trying to keep adults accountable for the way that they're acting, the way that they're speaking, because a lot of that does come into the classroom, and it's something that we are constantly dealing with, of reminding students that if you disagree with someone, that's fine, but you use your words, you express your ideas. You know, it doesn't need to come to violence.
All right, Kristen from Salem, thank you so much. So in addition to talking about bullying, which we've addressed, this ad also takes on the Me Too movement by showing scenarios where men are stepping in and saying, hey, it's not cool to catcall women or say things like, smile, sweetie. This is turning the conversation to men. What's it saying about not only their behavior, but how our society shapes it? And Renee, I want to go back to you on this one.
Well, I mean, you know, I think this has been such a part of our society for so long. I mean, something you see in the ad is they use a clip from a cartoon that's probably from the 1940s of, you know, the leering wolf, you know, sort of like lurching at a group of women at a table. All of these sorts of scenarios where you have that, you have the men on the street catcalling women, you have in the boardroom where a woman is talking and her boss interrupts her and is like, what she's trying to say, you know, the whole idea of mansplaining. You know, it's covering a lot in an ad that's less than 2 minutes long. And I think you know, for people who are in those scenarios, for the women in those situations, it's all very, very familiar. I think there are lots of men who might see this and have no idea that either this is what women deal with or this is the way their behavior can affect women. You know, again, it's not a matter of, you know, demeaning masculinity, but it's just saying, men, look, be accountable for your behavior. Think of the way you exist in the world and how that affects other people. You know, I don't know that, you know, I think if someone believes that being a better human being somehow underlines their masculinity, then maybe their masculinity wasn't all that to begin with.
Matt, I wonder if you can respond to that. You know, what about this argument that the ad is doing just that, that it's asking men to be self-reflective, to be accountable? What do you think about that?
The essential value of masculinity is strength. It's necessary to develop strength for a number of reasons. First, to be emotionally whole. But then secondly, later in life, to be able to have the strength to make moral decisions. What you do with the strength, once you have it, you can go good and you can go bad. And we see in the ad some men making bad decisions, doing bad things. Those things should be condemned. And the idea of one man calling out another and saying you shouldn't do that, fantastic. But you need that strength to develop in the first place. And this is why I go back to those two boys fighting in the ad. That's not a destructive thing for two boys to be developing their emotional strength, their physical strength. It's part and parcel of being a human being to be able to make strong and good decisions later in life.
Chris, you're in the studio with me.
Strength and violence? Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, actually,
isn't that equating strength and violence?
A moderate amount of violence as a child, as a teenager, is part of how a boy grows up. That's one of the reasons that contact sports are so popular. That is part of how a boy develops. Yes, I do equate the two.
Contact sports are quite different from fighting. Contact sports are, there's a referee there, there's teams that are matched, there's opponents who are matched. Whereas, you know, boys fighting, and then let's just take this up to teen years, that's where, you know, it becomes sort of every man for himself. And the idea that strength is derived from that, I feel, is a bit of a misnomer. I think where strength is derived is, as the teacher called before, and she's fifth grade, but she said finding your words, being able to communicate. I feel strength comes from inside, not from your fists.
All right, let's go to Jocelyn from Salem. Jocelyn, hi.
Hi. I was just calling, and I'm just listening to a lot of the callers calling in, and I just think it's a little interesting that so many of the men calling in are just getting so defensive over the ad, and I think that's part of the problem. I think when you get so defensive, it kind of just shuts down the dialogue completely. I think we have to understand, and I think we have to accept that a lot of men and boys have a lot of these feelings and emotions, and yes, they are different than how men and women kind of probably feel about things, but if we don't deal with those and understand that maybe men and boys have an anger that they just don't know how to express, rather than expressing it in a violent way or whatever, we need to, as a society, figure out how to deal with that and let boys find better and more constructive ways to deal with those emotions, rather than just instantly getting defensive when we try and even have an open dialogue about it or have an ad about it. So, I don't know. I just think it's interesting how defensive everyone's been getting about it so far.
Jocelyn, thank you so much. Matt, going back to you after this question, do you feel defensive going back to this fight scene between...
I wouldn't say defensive. I would say defend as a verb. And the reason I make the distinction is this ad is an attack. It's an attack on masculinity. It's an attack using bad behavior and using a wrong narrative of how that bad behavior develops. That's why you see such an amazing negative reaction in various parts of the country online. The number of, if you just look at the number of negative comments on YouTube, I'm not talking about the quality of the comments, just the numbers, the number of negative comments versus positive comments, it's not men reacting defensively. It's men reacting because they see an attack on human development as a male.
All right, Chris, as a man, do you feel attacked by the ad?
I don't feel attacked by the ad. What I find almost preposterous is the idea of a war on masculinity. I feel like men, of all the groups in society, I feel like men are probably the least attacked. The term that I've seen in a lot of comments is feminazi, which was mind-boggling to me. There is a perception among men, I don't know, you know, men who are out there, I don't know any of them personally, that women or other groups are after their masculinity. For some reason, they want to take it away. I don't see that happening anywhere.
Right. And of course, men statistically own more power in the world than women.
Yes.
They lead more companies. They lead more businesses. They are legislators more than women. We've been talking to Chris Muther, Boston Globe travel writer and columnist. Also with us today was Renee Graham, Boston Globe columnist, and Matt McDonald, editor for New Boston Post, a conservative publication. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Maria Garcia. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.